This is the first conference we've had since the State of the State, and I'm available for your questions. I do wish to begin by stating that we've had close contacts with leadership in both bodies in the legislature and both parties, and I'm heartened and, in fact, delighted about the steps taken in the Assembly for legislative reform that will help us expedite people's business in this session, and it's my plan to meet regularly with the leadership to get the programs going and to move as dynamically as we can to respond to the people's needs. I think the reforms thus far adopted certainly go a long way in that direction. So we're prepared for your questions this morning.
Governor, could you specify which activities and which income groups you propose for new taxes?
I've said that the vast majority of New Yorkers simply could not bear any further burden of taxation, either in the form of sales taxes or income taxes. I hold to that statement. This means that other levies that we contemplate will be reflected in the budget and the preliminaries on the budget, the fiscal plan, as we prepare them in cooperation with legislative leadership. We're going to try to see to it that those least able to pay will not bear any further burden. We're looking, therefore, very carefully at the impact of the outline of President Ford's message on the economy of New York State.
Can you elaborate on your proposal on the 10-cent a gallon gasoline tax?
Well, it does seem that while this was scoffed at and derided by many, and we did say it was anticipated that it would be an unpopular decision, that Mr. Ford is now moving in that direction. My concern is this. Mr. Ford may be going in the direction of DDT. If you want to know what I mean by that, it would be double-dip taxation. As I read his proposals, which seem simplistic, he would tax a crude at the rate of about $3 a barrel, then possibly tax not just gasoline, but heating fuel and other products a second time. That would be a double dip. That would be disastrous for the industrial states, especially New York. And I've taken steps to reach out to the governors of the other states affected so that when the president's message is explicit and we know the full impact of that message and we examine the congressional alternatives, the governors will be prepared to come forth and speak to the needs of our states.
Would this would this mean then if the president's double-dip taxation, as you put it, goes into effect, this would negate your proposal for the 10-cent tax on gasoline?
Well, I'm heartened by the fact that in the message, as I read it in brief, and it is vague, the president says that some of this money would be gathered in and then returned in the form of rebates to individuals of low income on income tax. That's most welcome. And he also says that there would be some programs for state and local assistance. Anything of that kind would be certainly most welcome in relieving the burden that New York would have to bear. And that was one of the reasons, as well as conservation, for the possible imposition of a gasoline tax.
Would it negate your tax, though?
It would have an impact on it, and we can't assess that impact until we know more of the details of the president's message and the congressional direction.
Governor, do you still plan to propose that 10-cent gasoline tax in your message, in your budget?
I proposed it, and we'll stick to it, and we'll predicate upon it, because the state of New York, as I present the fiscal plan, must have a balanced budget. Mr. Ford can go into deficit financing, and this state cannot.
Do you think the legislature would actually pass that?
I'm not going to bind the legislature to it's independent and cannot bind it. It has independent judgment. But I would say that the impact of the Ford program on New York State will be reassessed by me in conference with legislative leaders, and we're going to do our best to make sure that, one, we don't tax New York State out of the union or allow President Ford to tax us down to our union suit.
Governor, can you explain to persons who have no expertise in arcane economics why a Democratic Congress can propose a tax decrease and a Democratic governor, yourself, wants tax increases.
If you examine this, there's a there may be a dichotomy, but there's no conflict. The Democratic Congress is proposing a tax decrease to low-income individuals. The president's gone further. He's even said there would be cash benefit payments to those who pay no tax. So he's talking, and the Congress is talking, about some relief for those in the low-income and the middle-income brackets. I welcome that. I said the same thing, that we could not afford to tax that group at any higher level. There's no conflict.
Governor? Governor, does the rebate possibility on the federal level make it even more likely that you will go for an income tax revision on the upper brackets? In other words, they'd be more able to pay.
If you recall, our proposal in the state of the state was for the imposition of fuel tax with exemptions, not rebates. We don't know the details yet of the Ford program, but in terms of the imposition of taxes in our fiscal plan, I am not going to say at this time where we would levy the taxes necessary to balance the state budget.
Governor, 6 days ago, you told us in your State of the State message that the Urban Development Corporation had 4 or 5 days to go before it runs out of money. Can you tell me when we can expect to see something on the legislator's desk, whether there'll be a message of necessity, how you plan to finance $178 million, and if you have any plans for either cutting back or revising authority operations in the state?
On a day-to-day basis, including this day, we're meeting with officials involved in the UDC matter. I've also been in close contact with the legislative leadership. We've tried as well to keep the controller posted, and he is posted through his own audits on the condition of UDC. I think it's fair to state that the consensus between the parties and among the leadership is that the UDC must not be allowed to collapse or disappear. Its mission is too important, but we must put it in better financial shape because of the importance of that mission. We're moving in that direction, and we have arranged for briefings for next week so that the picture will be explicit and clear as to the management and the prospect for the continuance of UDC on a contained basis.
You had said during the campaign the Uncle Sam Mall would be financed and would be completed. In light of what's happening in UDC, what's your feelings now?
I've checked up on that because I was there, and I feel that that great excavation in the ground cannot be allowed to continue unfilled, and something must be done. My latest inquiry is that the refinancing of that with another contractor involved can be carried on, and we're going to encourage that as one of the alternatives to the UDC.
Government financing doesn't work. Will the state take over then?
We hope to be versatile enough to make certain that what was committed and pledged to the people who are depending upon the construction of that mall will go on, because we need the jobs. I'll do my best to aid local officials in carrying on that project.
Governor, during the campaign, you repeatedly said you would not raise taxes on families with incomes of under $25,000. There seems to be
whether two people working and $25,000 income, $15,000 individuals.
Well, people in those categories buy gasoline. I wonder, therefore, how the 10 cents a gallon gasoline tax conflicts, as it does, with your campaign promise.
That's a conservation measure. It embraces, as I said, exemptions as well. That tax is deductible from federal income tax.
Well, will any of the exemptions be directed specifically at income groups as opposed to the farmers and others you mentioned in the message?
No, that would be too complex to administer.
Governor, when do you feel that this legislature is going to have to act on UDC, and precisely what is it that you're going to ask them to do?
We have the prospect of holdover monies in terms of cash advances that would keep UDC going, and it's my hope that by the latter week in February, we'd have a lasting solution that would carry us through the end of this fiscal year.
Governor, I am sorry, but I am confused on your stand on the gasoline tax. On one hand, you say you're remaining firm for the 10 cents. On the other hand, you say you're reassessing the tax in light of the national proposals.
I said that I cannot predicate any change of position on what is essentially a simplistic and vague outline that we've received from the president. After we've heard the state of the state, after we've examined the congressional proposals, we then can reassess the impact of the Ford proposals on the tax that we had suggested as a conservation measure and as a revenue measure.
Governor, there would be no doubt that if a federal rebate came through on the income tax, people would have more money to spend in the state's sales tax picture.
You made a very good point. My hope and the expectation, I believe, of leadership in the other bodies is that the net disposable income of New Yorkers would be at a higher level this year to relieve the impact of the economy and hard times on families. We want to make certain that net disposable income goes up, not down.
Does that suggest that the possibility of federal tax cuts would allow you to increase taxes in this state without violating your general premise that the burden, the overall burden of taxation ought not to be increased?
I'm frankly not placing my emphasis there. My emphasis is on the statement made by the president that he would look for some of the money that he's taking in to be used for cash payments for those who pay no taxes. Simply put, that means those on public assistance. One of the big burdens this state has to bear is a high level of public assistance and home relief. And this may be the opening we're looking for, to get the federal government to assume the welfare burden as a federal responsibility. I welcome that initiative on the president. I'm going to follow that road.
How much is that 10% cut going to save you with your budget? And what do you estimate?
The 10% cut in which?
On your state programs. You said you're going to cut it by 10%.
The
state programs. You said over the programs you have.
The state purposes assistance program.
And what is your latest estimate of the budget gap that you face?
The budget gap, as I've said before, is massive. I can use the term enormous. We're trying to narrow it. We have the benefit of the good judgment of the leaders of the Finance Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, who will be working with us, as will the Budget Bureau, to narrow the gap. And the gap changes because we're in a period of accelerating economic decline. If the President moves swiftly and the Congress responds, we won't be as bad shape as we found ourselves. But I can't predict that. We can only try to guard against it.
Governor, does your austerity program include layoffs of existing city state employees? Will there be layoffs?
It's a freeze. And by attrition...
Is it only attrition, or will there be layoffs as well?
We contemplate no discharges or terminations. We have not inaugurated any such programs. But we are asking for reports on a bi-weekly basis of the census of employment in all departments of the state.
Are you willing to consider in these forthcoming labor talks any kind of a cost of living adjustment for state employees?
There is the Taylor Law precludes my discussion at this time of any matters in negotiation in advance of the actual entry into those negotiations.
Governor, relative to the Hurd decision, when you campaigned in Buffalo, at least Mayor Murkowski and other officials got the impression that the relief from the Hurd decision from you, if you were elected, would be more solid than offering them the opportunity to levy an income tax.
I said that we're going to cope with the Hurd decision as a state responsibility because the state led the localities into the dilemma they faced because of the Hurd decision. I bear that responsibility. How we're going to handle it currently is under study by a task force headed by Dr. Donna Shalala, and we're going to come up with an answer. And the last answer I want is to levy an income tax on the citizens of Buffalo who currently are facing severe unemployment.
The message, Governor, only mentioned the income tax as a relief.
He said that that's among those things that we'd be willing to undertake if that were a way to help cope with the Hurd decision. The objective overall in education is a positive one. We want to put the money where the children are, and we want to be versatile enough in the tax program, versatile enough in any part of the tax program, whether it be fuel tax or any other application of levies, to afford the money needed for special education, for handicapped children, and for those needs that must be met. We're not going to back away from our commitment on education.
Your suggestion that putting the money where the children is would lead one to believe that you might attempt to undo all the existing safe harmlesses that are in the present aid formula. Is that true? Will you try and cut those out?
Those safe harmless factors are in there as matters which legislators understandably brought home to their people so that the decline in enrollment would not have a severe adverse impact on the quality of programs. I understand those. To the degree that we can help legislators meet their commitments to the children in the classrooms for program enrichment, we're going to try to do that.
Back to UDC, Governor. Can you elaborate a bit? Who are you briefing next week, and do you expect to terminate Mr. Logue's services to UDC?
We had said there would be a change in the top management of UDC. I have been in contact with Mr. Logue. He's aware of that judgment. He's going to cooperate, I would hope and trust, in carrying on the functions in transition, and we're reaching out for the best possible people to give fiscal and imaginative leadership to this important agency. We've had briefings and memoranda directed to the legislative leadership in order that they understand the complexity of this very, very vexing financial problem. And the attitude of the leadership on both sides has been most constructive in trying to reach a workable alternative.
Governor, back to the Heard decision, are you saying that you have not entirely ruled out the possibility of the state just giving these cities the amount of money as you implied during the campaign?
I'm very wary of making any commitment without the agreement of the legislative leadership that we can keep that commitment. But we all know the impact of the Heard decision. The Bergen Commission is sitting. We're in contact with that to get their recommendations. And we're not going to leave the cities out there helpless to face the impact of a court decision that basically said the state was doing something unconstitutional.
Last 2 weeks, I've seen a portion of Albany's black community infuriated over the shooting of a youth, Keith Ballou, on the thruway by a state trooper. First of all, were they justified in their questioning of the shooting? They've also asked for an investigation by your office. Will your office investigate?
I have asked the superintendent of the state police to give me a prompt and personal report of all facts and matters surrounding this fatality. And I certainly understand the concern of any family, in any community, over the death of a young person as a result of a shooting by an officer in uniform. We've asked for the facts, and as soon as I receive them, I'll make a judgment.
Could you give us a figure that you are now projecting for the budget gap? And secondly, how much
that depends upon what Mr. Ford's program does in terms of aid to localities and states.
As of today, though, you must have a figure that you're working with. And the second part of the question is, what would you hope to raise in amount of money from the gasoline levy?
Well, depending upon the passage of the levy, the tax less the exemptions would give us a yield that would narrow the gap. But again, I said I'm not going to discuss the gap because it changes by the hour and by the clock and by the day, depending upon how we bulk in the various cost factors of education, health needs, and things of this kind. And I'm working with the legislature, which is cooperating. And we have fiscal experts, thankfully, in both sides of the legislature, in the chamber. And as well, we're working with them to come down with hard figures, and they will be embraced in the budget, and there will be preliminaries on the budget to explain it and to make it clear.
Governor, would you please comment on Ms. Kripsack's claims yesterday that the Senate majority is attempting to strip her of some of her power in the Senate?
It will be very difficult to strip Ms. Kripsack of anything. She holds her power and wields it well, and she's pursuing a course of leadership, and I think she's on responsible ground.
If we could turn to a political note for a moment, are you entirely satisfied with the way the state Democratic chairman, Mark Cunningham, handled the negotiations preceding the election of the Senate minority leader, Senator Ornstein? I understand he wasn't your choice exactly.
I've said it over and over again that in the executive chamber, I do not intervene or interfere in the matters in the on the legislative side. As to what transpired, I have no comment on that because the results are evident.
Last night, Senator Anderson described your state of the state message as callous, and he said you were executing a 180-degree turn from your campaign promises. So can we get your response to that?
I'm not callous. And I certainly am not a revolving door member. I have said that the state was in difficulty. I don't think you can quarrel with that. It's why President Ford has to come to the aid of the people. It's why we painted the picture candidly. And I think that hearing what the governors are saying may move the president to more dynamic action. I hope it had that effect.
Governor, what more would you want of him? I mean...
For the president?
Yes.
Well, he spelled out in general terms what he'd like to do to relieve what he will not call a depression. I want those specifics, and that's why I've reached out to the other governors to put the president on the line as to what he's going to do. The idea of helping us on income maintenance means to me that he may consider the windfall profits tax or something of that kind, since he's protecting, in a sense, the profit margins of the major international oil companies and use some of that money to help the states carry the burden of unemployment compensation and public welfare.
How about wage and price controls?
I understand that he may ask for something of that nature, and the imposition of something along the lines of phase two would not be out of order if he cannot control the economy.
Will you be more specific about your plans to cut state aid to municipalities?
We did not indicate in those terms that we were trying to cut state aid to localities. In fact, there is a commission sitting which is looking at the state aid to localities program. Senator Bloom is a well-informed member of that commission. We're looking at the impact on localities of mandates without money. We said in the State of the State that we wanted to share the problems of the localities. That kind of sharing means that we want to be able to have formulae operating over a two-year budget cycle so they'll know what they're going to get and can do better planning. That doesn't mean cutting aid to localities.
Are you backing off then from your call to cut the local assistance?
I said that we had to look at the formulae involved and see whether the money was going to where the functions are being performed. That's an involved process. We discovered during the course of the federal revenue sharing formula that sometimes the money went one place and the service was performed in another. So we're looking for a versatility in aid formula that would, frankly, allow the localities that have the function and the responsibility to have the funds to perform the service.
Are you going to cut the total of aid, or are you not?
We reduced the state purposes side of the budget. In terms of aid to localities, of course we'd look at the versatility of the imposition of the fuel tax as one of the possible aid measures that could be incorporated.
In other words, there's a total budget for various aid programs. Is that going to be down under Governor Kerry, or is it going to stay the same?
Some of those are mandated costs in the area of public welfare and Medicaid, and we have no... alternative there. Those are under federal guidelines and eligibility, and over a two-year period, we cannot in New York State deny to anyone, even a non-resident, eligibility for public assistance, and we have to pay a share of that.
Governor, 10% cut.
Austerity type budget and efforts to cut back spending. Do you see the state giving any subsidy to save the 35-cent fare in New York City or maintain current fares throughout the state?
The $100 million loan and the advent of the UMTA funds and the New York Amendment, which was the result of Mayor Beam's leadership, is such that, yes, we have the funds and are holding to the commitment to hold the fare levels at 35 cents through 1975, and as well, part of the program of the gasoline through 1975, and as well part of the impact of the revenues we would expect from any imposition of a fuel tax would be directed toward mass transit all across the state.
Governor, I received a telegram last week from New York United Teachers that said, in essence, that they were shocked at hints in your message that there possibly might be a reduction in state aid to education. They say they need at least 12% to remain at status quo should educators be optimistic? They feel that they can be. They feel that you are going to turn around and give them that major boost in education.
The State Department of Education and the Regents have recommended $425 million. The City of New York budget came in at $2.5 billion from Chancellor Anker. We're looking very assiduously at the education costs in the state, and we would like to see some measurements and some indicators as to where the money should go and how we can keep our obligation in terms of meeting the cost of education. We can't evade that. I regard that as an investment that we must make.
Governor, on this question of whether or not you prefer a cut in locality aid, you still stand by what you said in your State of the State message, I assume, which indicated we all thought that your basic goal was to cut back net on that.
We've asked the localities to look at their needs on a two-year basis and to assess whatever cuts they could make this year in order to prepare for next year so that there would not have to be deeper cuts, to look on a two-year basis. Now comes President Ford, we hope, with the kind of assistance to individuals, to localities, to states that may ward off these cuts if the federal government can assist the states and localities. I've said that's a mission of the governor, to get the help we need from the federal government. New York ranks 10th in terms of aid. We've moved up. We hope now with a strong New York delegation and gubernatorial leadership, we can move further from number 10.
Governor, are you saying then that you're hoping that added federal aid will balance out the state aid which you take away from the localities?
I read President Ford, and I believe what I read, and it says that he wants to use the money, some $30 billion, for rebates to individuals and income tax. That would have a favorable impact on our economy, and additional monies, in his own words, for aid to states and localities.
Governor, your case was coming up with a clean air plan for New York City, and President Ford proposed last night delaying new automobile pollution control.
I think a five-year delay in emission control legislation would be unacceptable to the citizens of the cities where the choice is better standards or respiratory diseases for children and for the elderly people. I do not agree with President Ford that we can wait 5 years for clean air. Furthermore, there's implicit in the president's energy plan a program that might try to force major industrial states to burn coal. We cannot move to coal-burning facilities without huge cost and a huge loss of environmental quality standards. I hope that's not underlying the president's plan. It won't work in New York at this time.
You have just seen the first half hour of Governor Hugh L. Carey's news conference, recorded earlier today in the Red Room of the State Capitol in Albany.